Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I hope that you have had a chance to vote in the Walnut Grove 1883 election, which I think is a lot of fun. To vote, visit walnutgrovecast.com and look for the link. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. David Webb, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Peyton England, Rebecca Frederick, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Anne Quinn, Jill Stillman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Sue Ingalls Wilder, Stephanie Carnes, Whitney Griggs, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair from the Unsolved Mysteries Rewind podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Ginny Comer, Ginny Schneider-Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Julia Monin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Julia Jin, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, and Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. Hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. That's weird. Just kind of closed out. I'm on my quote unquote fake new Mac. So that just kind of got a little bit weird. Welcome to the Walnut Grovecast and all types of audio glitches. Welcome to the show. Suzanne Holland, how are you? Suzanne, or this is my question. Is it Suzanne? Susan? Or is there something else? Because you took the E off and it really, really messes me up.
Yeah, it's Suzanne.
All right, that's what I thought, yep. Suzanne.
All but right. People say Susan all the time.
I love the fact that you took the E off. I don't know why. It's a little thing, but it's so unique. Or maybe you didn't take it off.
It wasn't actually me. It was my parents, but wonderful. I like it better.
Yeah, I like it. I like it more too. We have to remember, we always have to remove the E in things. But welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, me too. Especially during these times, we need these little detours of reality to talk about.
Detours to Walnut Grove.
Yeah. We have to escape into the world of late 1970s television drama about the 19th century.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the episode that we are reviewing today?
Well, this is Engine Kid, and
you can't say that.
When did it air? Do you know?
Yes, it aired on January 31st, 1977.
Oh, see, I was off. I was way off, a whole year off.
Oh, really? Let me double check that then.
No.
Because there have been times.
I'm sure you're right.
Oh,
because I didn't quite have a clue.
I am correct, but I'll tell you, if I was wrong, people would be writing right now. Dear Mark.
Yes.
Idiot.
But this is an interesting dramatic episode, and we have some drop-in characters. You know how Little House loves drop-in characters.
Well, you know, they usually die. And no spoiler, we're not going to mention death at this point, but usually
they act like they're such a big part of the community and everything, and you know, they're gone.
But we also Well, you know what? We'll get into it. I'm already about to jump ahead. But in the opening of Engine Kid, which it's tough to say it, right?
It is.
Really, as somebody who's spent a lot of time around Native American artifacts, and I spent a lot of time recreating beadwork that's from Lakota Indians, and I've spent a lot of time I've recreated headdresses from scratch and all types of really cool craft and beadwork. I've spent a lot of time around people of Native American heritage, and Injun is just, it's the N-word for them. It really genuinely is. And do you know where it comes from?
I don't.
I mean, it's kind of logical. It came from, I think, a 15th or 16th century, that's where it was really kind of coined. But it's kind of like saying Indian, but quick, like Injun. Like, yes. Injun. So it's really supposed to be said with a bit of a grunting, like you kind, yes, of with detest for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the 19th century, there was still a lot of, let's just say, racism towards the Native American people.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to play this opening scene where,
okay,
we see a Native American running. We're not really sure what's going on. We don't know if it's going to be Charles chasing him for all we know at this point.
That would be odd.
But we have interesting drum music. So here we go. The timpani, like dun 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 dun.
Yes.
You know, they were having a great time
recording the music. Drama.
Yeah.
I never understood where they start on this episode, because it seems like they could have just started with the stagecoach.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a kind of a weird episode in general. The timeline's so strange. But
it is.
So they're chasing this Native American, or as they would say, an Indian, and they shoot him. They kill him.
Yeah.
And
we don't know who he is.
No, not yet. But I think we can assume later we do learn who he is.
Yes.
The next thing we know, we are in Walnut Grove, and there's a stagecoach coming in, and this redheaded white woman comes off, and she's pretty animated. I've never seen her in any of her other movies. Have you?
I actually, I reviewed her listing on IMDb, and she'd been in some things, and I saw a picture of her now, mm-hmm, and, but I've never really seen anything that she was in.
She
is very animated. It's almost mesmerizing.
Yeah, like I would have, I almost want to go back and see how she acts, because there's something about her mouth that seems like computer animation. But her name is Ivy Jones, and I really liked her acting. But yeah, here we go. Coming off the stagecoach with meeting her father.
And son, Papa. Spotted Eagle, say hello to your grandfather.
Hello, Grandfather.
You cannot use that name here. If he's anything, he's Joseph Stokes. Which of these bags are yours?
It's actually Spotted Eagle, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Where does he get the name Joseph? He just pulls that out of the air.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those kind of like, I'm going to name you. It's like, well, can't we discuss this?
No.
Maybe
can we have 5 minutes before we get into this?
Right. Can we at least have the same initials of Spotted Eagle, like Sam? I don't know. But I'm making light of it. But, Spotted Eagle comes from a Sioux community. And they're very much dedicated to their way of life, even in 1877.
Can we say something about his hair? Because his hair is beautiful.
Oh, it's cool. It's kind of like, reminds me of Matt Starr. I can't remember the name of this. This is a 70s show, but kind of like the Shazam guy.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if he's putting product in that is, but
it's a head of hair.
Yes. And the thing is, he could wear that hair out into the 70s world and be perfectly great looking.
Yeah, I mean, this is like basically Mick Jagger's haircut for about 20 years.
Probably so.
But yeah, he's probably the coolest looking kid in the at least episode. The only thing is his skin is slightly darker than everyone else's. That's about it. I mean, but you could tell he's native. You know, he definitely has native features and he's dark. He also speaks kind of, he puts it on a bit. You know? Mm-hmm. But it's 1977. You're supposed to, you have to like kind of sell it.
He does.
Now, Mary seems to know a little bit about Spotted Eagle's existence. Mary and Ma are hanging out with Mrs. Whipple. I think she's the one at the post office.
Yes.
And so Mary kind of, you know, she's future gossip queen, right? So.
Yeah, she's extremely gossipy in this episode.
Yes.
She's just intrigued.
I'll bet she's the one the Sioux Indians took captive.
How did you know about that?
Everybody knows. They captured her in a raid a long time ago. And no matter how her father searched and searched, he couldn't find her.
Are you sure it was her?
Uh-huh. And the boy's name is Spotted Eagle. And Mr. Stokes doesn't like it at all.
You've got mighty sharp ears, miss.
You could tell he was Indian, even though he wore the same kind of clothes all the boys do. He's an orphan. Can you imagine? A real live Indian right here in Walnut Grove?
I think we've heard quite enough of that for a while, Mary.
I wonder how she escaped.
Well, Mary, you heard your mother.
Yes, sir.
It's just so funny. They're both... I got a little lost there because Ma's like giving her like a dirty look.
Well, yeah, somebody needs to give Mary a dirty look once in a while. Keeps her in line.
She's my new favorite. Sort of.
I know. Yeah. But the thing, I don't know who your favorite was before.
I don't know. It changes. You know, here's another thing is, at the same time, she's my least favorite because I feel Melissa Sue Anderson should really answer my emails. And I think she's afraid to come on. I won't ask too many hard questions, Melissa, but,
she's Melissa, very reserved. It seems.
Yeah. She seems like a little bit reserved, but she, I would say her and Matthew Laborto. Two people that are untouchable. It's like, who do you think you are?
At least give you a response of some kind.
Yeah. Everyone else has. Everyone else has lied to me and said they were going to come on. No, yes. I have a lot in the works. So
you've had some incredible people on the show, so you should be really proud.
Yeah. I love the fact that so many people have been so kind and spent time to come on and speak to me. And, hopefully there's more to come. I thought that I thought this whole pandemic was going to completely get everybody to say, sure, no problem. But oof, everybody just, you know, went the opposite. But anyway, stay tuned. It'll happen soon enough. I'll get Melissa Sue Anderson. Don't you worry.
That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah. I'll be like 81. Still doing a little less. Still not have being able to have done all 200-something episodes, you know? Mm-hmm. That's another thing is I think we've only reviewed like maybe 65 episodes, but there's well over 100 episodes of Walnut Grove cast. So what are we talking about here?
I mean, some of them are just straight interview.
Yeah, that's the thing is a lot of them are interviews. So, all right, back to 1877. We see a little bit of a tour of the house that I'm just going to call him Joseph, I guess. I don't know what to call him, but where Joseph's going to be living. It's a nice house. You know, it's nice to be back in Walnut Grove. Apparently, the mother had gone to work at a mission, I guess a Native American mission, and fell in love with a gentleman named White Buffalo. And that's the dad. So what I didn't really get, and maybe you can clarify this, is Joseph her son by blood?
I believe so. I didn't see anything that would indicate he wasn't.
Well, Mary just said he's an orphan.
Hmm. Well, you know how rumors get twisted around, but I'm sure he's her son.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
They look just alike.
Womp, womp. No, but here's a little discussion about White Buffalo. The grandfather is clearly very, he loves his daughter, but he hates the choices that she has made. And he's not afraid to, you know, talk about it. I love their little kitchen, by the way. Excuse me. They have, like, the copper pot, the little spice rack. And there's certain things that they have that I haven't seen before in Little House, like the spice rack. I thought that was pretty cool. Or that could be a tea holder. It's probably a spice rack, though. And I don't know. I like their house. There's something about their house that I find to be pretty nice.
Especially because of the way Little House tends to reuse houses and different buildings and, mm-hmm. and sets. And, you know, it's not anything we've seen before. You're right. It's pretty unique.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've seen this tea set. I'm sure we've seen the coffee pot, but the way it's set up, the oven and how the kitchen is a legitimate other room. It's not in the room. So very different, very different. All right, yes. Here we go. We're going to hear what Grandpa has to say.
What about the soldiers that killed him? What about them?
You said put the past behind us.
You'd never believe you were taken captive. I wouldn't let him know you were a willing squaw.
What about Spotted Eagle?
He's an orphan. You adopted him.
So that's it. He spread the rumor. Mm. This bum. Bomb.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
You brought him with you and then you left.
I don't think people are going to believe that. I lived with them for 12 years, Papa.
You believe it now. And you're not going to change it.
He's my flesh and blood. And yours too.
He is not.
Now, do you catch her accent, by the way? It's yours too.
It's a little.
Yeah. I don't know where it came from, but I just pictured her in the middle of a Woody Allen movie. I can really picture her as one of the kind of, yes, it's kind of like one of these very reserved love interests of Woody who ends up taking her hair down at the end, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, I'm getting it all over again as I watch her and hear and listen to her. She has a little bit of a Diane from 2020, Diane, the interview woman.
Sawyer?
Yeah. A little bit of a lisp. So I don't know. It is something I really like about this actress. I really am going to like go down the rabbit hole and see what else she's done. Hopefully it's as good as this. It doesn't ruin, you know, my view of her in this award-winning performance on Little House. But here we go.
I have held up my head all the time you've been gone, young lady. And you are not going to shame me now. I want you with me, Amelia. But it's got to be the way I said. Now, will you call him, Joseph?
All right.
And you adopted him.
Say what you want. It won't change the fact that he's my son. And he's your grandson.
I'll see to the horses.
It's a pretty, it's a terrible thing to ask somebody to do.
It is. You know, I think you're right. He does love his daughter, but if he loves her, how can he deny such a basic part of her child?
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, he's even questioning that, you know, kind of like what's become of me. But we also learn a little bit about why he feels so strongly against Native Americans and the Sioux in particular.
Yes.
But here we go. We're at the Little House. Pa's keeping his books together. I don't know what he's doing. And even though they have enough money to pass out bread to everybody.
They do. Let's take some bread over.
Yeah. It's okay.
That happens a lot.
And it's not even bread, it's cake, I think, you know?
It's not going to be easy for that boy. Or for Miss Stokes, for that matter. They're going to need friends.
Tomorrow's baking day.
Nobody asked. I'm just kidding. It's like
she's nobody. So, yeah.
Who cares?
Nobody did ask. You know what's funny here is Pa's talking about how hard it's going to be on this boy, and this is how it starts. This is how he winds up adopting a boy.
Yeah.
You know, he's always looking for these pseudo sons.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. He's like, if I only had another dollar a month.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, you have Carolyn. It's like, tomorrow's Taco Tuesday. It's like, shut up, woman.
I thought it was Frito Chili Pie Day.
But I think it's very sweet. She's going to take over a bread to her. I think when somebody moves into an area, you have to, you know, welcome them. There's nothing like that in my neighborhood. So, and I'm nothing like that in my neighborhood. So maybe I'll try next time when somebody moves.
You never know.
Yeah, because I hate my neighbors, so I hope they do move. So you're so happy to have a new neighbor. No, I like my next door neighbor, but my other next door neighbor, I really don't like too much. Kind of a
that's bad.
It's all right. It's not a big deal. So the next day we're in the school and we see a bunch of new people. I mean, I think every time they show the school, we see new students, right? I mean, we see
some
of the same.
And there's always a really tall girl.
Mm-hmm. And the blonde bully, which is played by none other. I mean, is he on your radar? This guy, Willie Ames.
You know, I didn't recognize him as Willie Ames to begin with, but, you know, when I was reading up a little, I thought, oh, I did not recognize Willie Ames.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm used to him as in Eight is Enough, but.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you watched Eight is Enough and Charles in Charge or something. But he's got a head of hair, too. Wow.
He does. Yeah. This is a hair episode.
Yeah. Willie's hair, not so great. But,
no.
And that's another thing. If you look at Mary's hair, I'm noticing it sometimes. And this is one of the episodes. Mary's hair is styled here in a very 70s fashion. Mm-hmm. It's layered and feathered, and you'll see she has bangs cut in. It's like that is not 1877 accurate.
No.
Mary. I have to watch out for her nails in this episode. I don't know if they're done.
Yeah. But, it's interesting after she goes blind and they mess with her hair to the point of dyeing it brown and perming it and calling it good.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about that, and I'm not really sure if that was just Melissa Sue Anderson, you know, not doing good things to her hair, or I'm not sure. I don't think that Melissa Sue Anderson is like a kind of character actress. Where she's like, you know, I have to act like I'm blind. And I have to, you know, cover my eyes for a month and I have to live like the blind. You know, she's not going to go that far. So I'm wondering if maybe she treated her hair too much and it just kind of got dry during that period.
I don't know.
Me either, because she went from really having kind of braidy, beautiful hair to.
She did. She had gorgeous hair.
Yeah, to.
I envied it as a child.
And even now you watch and you realize why you envied it, probably.
Yeah, I do. I get it.
But then she gets into like season 7 and it's like.
And it's like,
what's going on around here? Put some conditioner in there. Put some something. Anything. Pull it back. All right. So here we go. We're in the school and we're about to be introduced to Joseph. Or rather, the school's going to be introduced to Joseph.
Miss Beadle, I was told I must come to school here.
It's just, you know, there's no finesse in his voice. There's no inflection. There's no, like, excitement. I was told I must come here. Jeez.
Of course. Please come up here.
Hey, he's a new year. He's a new year.
And they're looking at him like his lobster's coming out of his ears. Yeah. I mean, he's a shade darker, people.
And could they learn the art of subtlety because, you know, keep their voices down or something.
Right. Well, they are in like basically what a 20 foot by 12 foot room.
Yes.
Like 110 degrees there in the winter. With that big oven.
He's reading off a cue card or something.
Yeah.
All we have to do is put your name in our record book.
My grandfather wishes me to be called Joseph Stokes. But my real name is Spotted Eagle.
All right, class, that's enough. Seth, if I hear one more word out of you, you're going to stay after school. Let's see, Joseph, you can sit,
He's an Indian. He can sit on the floor.
Willie, stand in the corner.
Good one, Willie. Willie's such a little jerk. He's such a little
jerk. How come Seth doesn't get set to the corner? I've never heard of her keeping kids after school.
I think and I never heard of that either. I think it has a little bit to do with Willie should know better at this point. Like, Willie's doing it on purpose to get in trouble. Like, he's just a little Weisenheimer.
The day she should have kept kids after school was the day of the blizzard.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe you stay here for 20 minutes. Jeez. Laura nudges Mary.
Thank you, Laura. Joseph, that's Laura Ingalls and her sister Mary next to her.
Yes, I've heard of their father. You know, so they write songs about him in the Sioux legend book. So am I insulting people? Hopefully not, because I have nothing but respect for the Native American people. So yeah, I mean, it's very nice. It's total Ingalls power move. You're my best friend now. And Laura's the one, she's always very excited to try something new. And I think that's what we really love about her character.
I agree. She's up for anything.
Yeah. And I also think Laura's kind of smitten with him a bit.
I didn't pick up on that, but you could be right.
It's like, you know, she's beaming, she's smiling, and she's like, you know, if she had candy, she'd be sharing it. So Caroline goes over to, I guess, have a peace offering, right?
Bread.
Yeah, baked bread. And we do get to see the back of, I'm forgetting her name. What is the mother's name? You happen to have it? Dun, 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 dun. I'll find it in here in a moment.
Amelia. I wanted to say Anastasia, but I knew that wasn't right.
It's almost as good. Ivy Jones. So her hair is crazy, crazy long. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's like in a braid and it's like past her butt. It's crazy. It's like a Willie Nelson type of thing.
Yeah.
So I did not expect that until just now when I freeze framed it. But here we go. We have Caroline basically trying to work off some guilt that she must have by being nice to literally everyone.
Hello. I'm Carolyn Ingalls. We're neighbors. Just down the road.
Hello.
I brought you this. I saw you arrive yesterday. I thought you probably didn't have much time to do any baking. It's not as light as it should be. I don't know why.
Thank you. It smells delicious.
Now, coming up, you would have to watch it in slow motion to catch this. But I'm actually going to stop it as soon as she does it. But the person to look at is Caroline in what I'm about to explain.
Well, I won't stay. I just dropped by to say hello and welcome.
She is beaming. You know, she's smiling and she's being very much Caroline. When she goes to turn away, her face just goes 100% cold. It's the weirdest thing. It's the kind of face you expect her to turn and then get a shot of her face, like being mad, almost like she's going to kill somebody.
Maybe
you have to see it.
Maybe it's her disappointment at not being invited in.
It's possible. I think it might have been just shooting the scene. Maybe something was happening and they had to do it over and over again.
Yeah.
But maybe. And I think that it's possible that she was trying to do the disappointed type of thing. But
could be. You know how you said Carolyn was trying to make up for something, maybe? I have a theory.
Oh, no.
It's probably predictable on my part, but she did spring She did spring Carrie on the world.
It is true. It is, and Grace. No, but Carrie is the one who... Carrie used to be my favorite for a short amount of time. And sometimes she does, you know, come back. Like, I don't know. I think Carrie's kind of a hidden treasure.
Okay.
You know? And you know what it is? The real actresses who are so little and so young, I don't know. I've attacked them so much, I think I'm going to hold off for a few episodes.
Okay.
Just a few.
You're kinder than I.
No, but... I totally agree with you. Yeah, she deserves... She probably wakes up with guilt every day. It's like, oh, God. Be quiet, Carrie. Just go and fall down another hole. poor Carrie.
I love that episode.
Who doesn't? That's great. But it is also very sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll stay for coffee at least, won't you? Give me an excuse to taste this.
Thank you.
It'll give me an excuse to taste this. And it's kind of like, I'll make coffee because it's probably really dry. Do you want honey? It looks really dry. It's just so funny.
Like she's expecting something terrible. She's not planning on eating it. She'll taste it.
That's why I think it's cake. Because you don't need an excuse to have bread. You need an excuse to eat cake. That's what I think. Damn it, Carolyn. I like their white picket fence, by the way. It's so simple. It's similar to what the Olsons have.
Yes.
There's a lot of dead air in this particular episode. Did you catch that? It's like
I did. I noticed that when I was watching it again.
Yeah, it's very strange. And this is another thing. I have a theory. I think that Caroline is a vampire because she needs to be invited into the house. And we've all seen The Lost Boys.
Right.
So she stands outside the door until she is invited in. Here it is. It's very awkward, too, I think.
I'm sorry. Please come in.
Thank you.
See? It's like, I don't know. Yeah.
That is an awkward part that there's no other reason for except the one that you give.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Is that like the super proper thing to be invited in? I mean,
maybe because they just met. I don't know. But I mean, she wouldn't do that anywhere else. I mean, when Harriet invites her into the living quarters, mm-hmm. she just goes marching in following Harriet.
Vampire. That's all.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I might have to, I'll never do this, but write fan fiction for,
oh God,
like the vampire in an episode or something. One day, maybe if I'm really bored, I'll write a throwaway script and just throw it into the public and just kind of throw it out like, hey, this was like a real script.
Get someone to act it out with sock puppets.
That's even more fun. Or we can get, I mean, a lot of the cast is still around. Is it possible? No.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did like the Abraham Lincoln was a vampire killer
yes,
series.
Yes, I love that.
I never read them. Are they worth it?
I mean, it's not great literature, but it's fun and captivating.
Yeah. I mean, that alone, just it's very unique. And I don't know. I just think it would be kind of funny if all of a sudden we had a vampire and this was like the episode where we learn. I don't know.
Whole different take on it.
Yes. So we learn a little bit more about the truth of what is going on. After Caroline sits down, they're kind of cutting the cake and having a little bit of coffee and just kind of getting to know each other. But I maybe she's sensing that Caroline is there as more than just a curious neighbor. She really wants to know what is up, you know, and Amelia basically dishes. You know? That's what everyone does with Caroline, right? Everyone loves Caroline for good reason.
Tell her their troubles.
Yeah.
You might as well know the truth about this. The stories Papa's told about me being a captive aren't true.
It's been like a day, right? She's already laying the cat out of the bag. It's so funny.
I married White Buffalo because I loved him. And Spotted Eagle is our son.
Shock you?
It's just we're...
See, my husband left the reservation because we were starving. He left to try to find game, food for his family. And the soldiers killed him for breaking their rules. And now I have to live the way Papa says. But it won't change the fact that I loved an Indian. Now, if you'd rather not stay, I'll understand.
Whitey.
I take cream and sugar.
So do I.
That's very well put, Carolyn.
BFF? So, yeah, I mean, these two definitely have a bond. And you know what? I think it was a real classy thing to say right there, Caroline.
It was.
I'll take it to go, you know.
I got to go to the mercantile.
Yeah. So the next day we're doing, we're adding 3 digits. I don't recall ever having to do math equations on a blackboard personally. Not like this. And this would stress me out. Even now, I'm like, what? I'm pretty sure I can handle it, but it's just, I don't know. It would stress me out to have to be in front of the entire class doing math equations. I don't know why it would stress me out, but it just would. This entire scene gave me a little bit of anxiety. And I'm pretty good at math, so it's kind of a strange thing. Yeah. So he does the math really quickly. It appears he's, Joseph is doing a lot of the, ciphering right in his head.
Oh, not ciphering. No, Miss Peele scares me.
Another thing is Willie Ames is up there. Well, Willie Ames, Nellie, and Joseph are up there doing their math, ciphering. And they, Nellie and Willie are, really not struggling, but they're doing it the way they would normally do it. And he's just kind of boom, boom, boom. And everyone's like, is this, you know, like, what is this? Is he just a genius? And they're immediately a little bit jealous. So here we are up at the blackboard talking a little bit about it.
He's just lucky.
Yeah, he thinks he's pretty smart. Just wait till after school. I'll show him.
No, I never understood the whole, you think you're smart? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are you going to beat him up because he's smarter than you? Just never made it.
I don't get it either. Why is he talking to Nellie? That's just weird.
Free candy. Duh. Not
true. Duh.
So
it's always the candy. We got sour balls.
And I get a feeling that, I'm going to call him Willie because I forget his name, but Willie Ames, I think, just like everyone, what is Seth? That's right. Seth probably has a crush on Mary, just like everybody else in the world. And as they're walking away, Joseph just kind of darted and went running and avoided this confrontation. So here we are all walking away from the schoolhouse.
Hey, Mary, carry your books for you?
No, thank you.
Don't tell me you're an engine lover, too, like your sister.
Pay no attention, Laura.
I won't. He wasn't afraid. I could see his face. He just wanted to get out.
Engine lovers?
It's just so funny, but he does have a great head of hair. So, definitely, 1977. Wow. He's still around, too. He's still acting and doing all types of stuff. One of my favorite movies with Willie Ames was another one of these Scott Baio movies. I know you're a big Scott Baio fan. Zapped. I don't know. Do you ever see Zapped?
No. I was thinking to myself, I can't name a Willie Ames movie, but now I vaguely recall Zapped now.
It's crazy. I'm looking at it. He was in 109 episodes of Eight is Enough. Crazy. I wonder if there's an Eight is Enough podcast. I'm laughing, but it, you know, they're probably at the same time saying, do you think there's a Little House on the Prairie podcast? So here we are. And that's
the trouble with an eight is enough podcast is only the first season is available streaming or on DVD.
Oh,
and
really?
So it hasn't found a new audience and you can't really go get the episodes. So.
Yeah. I think I had a crush on one of the sisters, one of the eight, but probably the redhead. And it's just, I don't remember eight is enough very much. I kind of remember, it just being kind of a goofy show. Like it wasn't really much going on. Did you watch it? Was it a show that you watched?
There were some episodes that were pretty dramatic, but most of it was just lighter, minor family drama. But there were some heavy episodes, like Nicholas burning the house down.
What? Nicholas did that with his bowl cut?
Nicholas did that, and then he ran away because he burned down the house.
Wow. I remember it was, well, as when I was watching it, I didn't think this, but thinking back, I think it was filmed really nicely. I think it was kind of a big budget type TV show. Maybe.
Maybe so. And I think it had like, I think it had a cheesy but light theme song in terms of theme songs with lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know, it was kind of, I don't know, charming in its own way. Cheesy, but charming.
How does the It Is Enough theme song go?
Talks about like a plate of homemade wishes on the kitchen windowsill.
All right, we have to play it real quick. We can't just let it go.
That was quick.
There's a magic in
the oh, yeah. I remember this.
You remember. And they're making a pyramid on the front lawn.
Smiles on everything around. It's a portrait of the happy.
I don't like any of these girls.
It is enough to fill our lives with love.
Dick Van Patten.
Yeah.
A lot of Dick Vans in the 60s and 70s, huh?
goes one down the street now.
Can't be William. Not a William.
Yeah.
When you have a van in your name, you know you're fancy.
Oh, I know.
I used to work with it's a like Peter Van Rolt.
Or you could raise one eyebrow. Those are all cool things.
Yeah, in the 19th century, you would have the like handlebar mustache and maybe a pipe. All right, so back to 1877.
Yes.
Now I want to watch Eight Is Enough. I think I might have to jump into that and check it out. We are doing that other podcast called Retro TV, so maybe Eight Is Enough
perfect
can find a little bit of a home. Maybe you want to do one. Let me know.
Sure. Anytime.
That'd be a lot of fun. So, all right, a Willie Ames crossover. But you have to see Zapped. Actually, in my other podcast, VHS Rewind, we did review Zapped years ago. So it's actually one of my favorite movies as a kid, not now. But it's worth seeing, you know.
I'll have to watch it.
If you're really bored and it just happens to be on in front of you, watch it, but don't go out of your way for it.
Okay.
Don't buy the Blu-ray. Sorry.
I won't buy the Blu-ray.
Sorry, Willie. And Scott Baio. All right, so they're arguing. There's more arguing over the conversation, over what's going on. There's a lot of stress having to do with Joseph and his existence. We see Joseph running. He has no shirt on, just suspenders. He really just wants to be himself. And I think we can all kind of respect that a lot. But here we go. It's just getting kind of tense in their household.
What do you mean? You didn't try to convert him. You went there as a missionary teacher.
I went to teach, not to convert.
So you let your husband stay heathen.
He didn't try to convert me.
What about your son? He's a heathen too.
We agreed he could choose what to be when he was old enough.
What did he say?
He was old enough last year, and he made his choice.
Which is what?
He's a Sioux.
My grandson is a heathen.
They are as religious as we are.
He's going to church with us Sunday if I have to drag him.
You're not going to force him, Papa.
I told you before, you want to stay, it'll be my way. He goes to church come Sunday, or
You can go back to them. Now, does he go to church? Does he go to church?
Whatever you say, Papa.
So Joseph's in the other room and he overhears this. And he's not showing any emotion, but who would want to hear this about themselves? I mean,
I don't think anybody does.
His grandfather.
And that's such an empty threat.
Yeah. Say it again.
He's not going to drag him.
No.
Physically drag him.
No. Charles wouldn't allow that.
No.
Now, Sioux Indians, just like most Native Americans, their religion really is a part of spirituality. And they believe in, and when I say spirituality, it's a little bit more than the esoteric aspect of it, like, you know, just kind of a belief system. It's more of a true belief system that they believe that there are spirits in all animals and plants, and dreams and visions are a way to communicate with the spirits. You know, they have this real connection and kinship with their bodies and earth, you know, like, it's a really deep belief system, and I have a lot of respect for it. I don't follow it, of course. I'm no Indian, so
God.
I mean, no, but I do have a lot of respect for them. That's why there's a whole, you know, conservatory focus, really, when we're talking about Native Americans and retaining land and keeping sacred land. And they have a lot more respect for the land than most other religions and groups of people, namely, you know, very often white people. So it's a really sad thing, and they kind of do drag him to church, and yeah. I think it was a little disrespectful of him to not stand when everyone else is standing. But I'm thinking he's 12 here. Is that right?
About.
And I'm Jewish. I've been to churches and everything. You participate. You're there. You don't have to
embrace it.
Right. You don't have to go home and say, you know, Jesus is, you know, you can just kind of go there and enjoy the period of time that you're there. So I don't know. But at the same time, he's kind of having a crappy existence. You know, his dad, of course, murdered, and it's his grandfather, who he really wants to just love, is calling him a heathen. It's a terrible, I couldn't imagine. It's just a really terrible situation that this poor kid is going through.
A lot for a kid to take on.
But he's also really mad about church, and maybe he does have a right to be mad for being dragged to church. He wasn't asked, he was told. You know, that's another thing that's kind of really lacking here. But grandfather's going to take him aside and give him a piece of his mind, because he's embarrassed that Joseph did not participate in church.
Next time, boy, you show respect. We pray, you pray.
They are not my prayers, nor my God.
Joseph, come back here! Wait till I get him home. I'll give him the whale of his life.
You will not.
Oh, yeah.
Amelia? I was hoping I could catch you. You know what I've done? I've made so much fried chicken. I was wondering if you could come along and have picnic dinner with us.
Fried chicken? We talking fried chicken?
She really needs to judge her recipes better.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Joseph's gone already.
Well, I'll fetch him.
Even though everybody out there just saw that, you know, you had a big fight.
Yeah, let's just smooth that over.
Yeah, you know can't. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, what's interesting is the part of the problem with the interaction between Amelia and her father is that the father acts like he's the parent and the disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's up to his mother to make these decisions and to punish him if he needs to be punished, not his grandpa.
How old is Amelia, you think? Like, she's probably like 30-something.
30, 35.
The character, yeah. So, I mean, when she left home was 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of a kid. Like, you know, let's just say, you know, she left when she was 20. She probably really listened to her father all the time. And she kind of is listening to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think he understands his role 12 years ago. But yeah, I think you're right. He's not seeing that this boy is going to respect the mother more than he respects the grandfather.
Yeah. And it's not like they have the choice to leave, really, because I don't get the impression that she can support both of them.
Yeah, that's why they're there. So Joseph, Laura's going and tracks Joseph down to a little bit of a quiet little resting area. And Joseph looks as though he's presenting an offering and a prayer. And to me, this sounds like Lakota, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't speak any of this stuff. So, but it does sound a bit like Lakota. So here we go. This is what she stumbles upon. He's not playing the pan flute, but...
no, his own fear.
And I don't know where he got this pipe, you know. It's like he just carries it around or something. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very extremely foreign thing for not just somebody in 1877, but also in 1977 on Little House in the Prairie. I think that this is really, really kind of daring of... do you know who directed this episode?
I don't.
Let me look at this.
William
Victor
Claxton?
French. Victor.
Oh, I would have said William Claxton.
Yeah, this is not a Victor French feeling episode. That is
I can't imagine. No.
Huh. And he's not even in it. You think you'd want to get in on some of this. Laura basically is kind of just watching and kind of is amazed, you know, by it. So Laura then goes to Joseph and just kind of starts rapping about everything.
I didn't mean to spy.
It's all right.
He also has what looks to be war paint on his face, mm-hmm. which I'm not really sure what that truly represents, but
I don't know.
He claims it's to cover his shame, but I'm not really sure.
Our families are going to have a picnic. They all want you to come.
My grandfather doesn't want me.
Well, sure he does. Well, if he was mad at you, he'd be over it by now. What's all that stuff on your face for?
To hide my face and my shame. I came here to pray.
But we just got back from church.
Not my church. That's why we're shamed.
So this kind of goes on for a little while, and she just kind of ends it with, well, let's go. There's chicken.
Yeah. I really like this part, though, because...
Oh, do you want me
to
continue it? I'll find it.
Well, no, but just to comment on it, there's an innocence. Laura's innocence is so apparent here because she just asks whatever comes into her mind freely, mm-hmm. and she hasn't learned inhibition yet because they're very nosy questions, but she's not of an age where she has realization of that. And, you know, he's comfortable with her and she's comfortable with him, and it's a nice... exchange they have, I think.
And it's also really expanding the character from, so people pray outside of your church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, that's really foreign to her.
And of course it is. Yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, it is, it's very sweet and it's very innocent, but in total Laura fashion, she just turns it into a good old time.
Well, there's chicken. She can't let that go.
Well, it's getting colder by the moment, so
she needs that chicken now.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the lake, where they're spending time skipping stones. I kind of miss this kind of silliness where you can just kind of go to a lake and skip stones. You know, when was the last time you skipped a stone?
I don't think I've ever skipped a stone, Mark.
You
gotta
skip a stone, sure. You have to skip a stone at least one time in life. So, it's Charles basically talking to grandfather about Joseph, and I don't know, says he's a good-looking boy.
How's your corn coming?
See, what was that?
Oh, I said good looking boy.
Yeah, good looking.
Oh, better than last year.
Yeah, mine too. The rain's been just right. I reckon it must be quite a change for you, having somebody to help you around the place. Joseph.
Yeah, he chores around the house.
He's a fine-looking boy. Right smart, too, from what I understand.
Maybe.
He's the head of his class, in case you haven't heard.
That was a little bit of a zing right there, right? In case you haven't heard.
Yeah. Like, there he goes, admiring the boy. Everybody's a good boy or a hard-working boy, and we get it. You like boys.
I heard he's an orphan. You can send him on over to my place.
He can live in the loft.
There you go. You know, my girls get along with him just fine. One of the family.
You weren't around here during the Sioux raids, were you?
No.
Well, I saw sights that I'll never forget.
Now, I did a little bit of searching on what he's talking about. And apparently there was a war, the Dakota War of 1862. Dakota is another word for the Sioux. So yes. I got this directly from some historical website. It's a real, just real condensed aspect of what I think he's referring to, if they're even meaning to touch upon something that genuinely happened. But during the Dakota War of 1862, the Sioux made extensive attacks on hundreds of settlers and immigrants, which resulted in settler deaths and caused many to flee the area. This ended with soldiers capturing hundreds of Sioux men and interning their families. I think interning their families means putting them to work.
Yes. Isn't that?
Yeah. A military tribunal quickly tried the men, sentencing 303 to death for their crimes. President Lincoln would later commute the sentence of 264 of them. I don't know why, only 264. The mass hanging of 38 Sioux men was conducted on December 26, 1862 in Mankato. It was the largest mass execution in United States history. So it's pretty, you know, tremendous, really, what he's talking about. And if that's what he's referring to here, yeah, that would definitely leave a stain on the area. And this would have only been 15 years later. So it's really good when it lines up. Yeah, it's good when it lines up like this, though. That also really is in line with, I want to call her Abigail. I cannot remember this woman's name. The mother, you know, leaving 12 years. So it would be like 3 years after this happened. And just a real sad thing. But here's the rest of that clip.
Women, children, babies even.
On both sides. What hate does to people. Boy wasn't here for those raids.
Because he was a boy? What happens when he becomes a man?
I think a lot of that's going to depend on you, isn't it?
I got nothing to do with it.
Why? Why? Because he's an Indian? He's a boy, Jeremy. You love him, he's going to love you back. You reap what you sow.
It wasn't my idea to sow an Indian seed.
It's not. That was God's.
So, I mean, this is one of those things that probably a lot of people, especially maybe in 1977, you know, starting to see you know, different cultures getting together and having children. But, you know, even over, you know, 140 years ago, it was an issue, you know, and you know, it's still an issue, right? It's just, I don't think we'll ever get to a period of time where it's just fully, fully accepted by everyone.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I mean,
certainly not in our lifetimes,
but I'm going to say that in my lifetime, it's definitely become much more, widely accepted.
I agree.
you know, not that I can recall ever being in a situation where it was not accepted. You know, I don't think I've ever seen anybody or had somebody say anything negative about these things, but we do hear all the time different. You know what it is? People hate people, you know, and that's part of the problem. No matter what, it's just people are jerks sometimes. But
really are.
Yeah, but definitely, I mean, maybe that was the message, the underlying message here a little bit for Victor French. You silly, silly man, silly. But yeah. Let's see. So, actually, the grandfather's name is Jeremy. So, Joseph, okay. Yeah, Joseph comes back with Laura. They're coming, they want some of that chicken. And Jeremy still has the what appears to be war paint on his face. And Jeremy grabs Joseph and he's shaking him and saying, you know, basically embarrassed. You know, it's just, it's craziness. Yeah.
Which he's attracting more attention to it by creating such a scene.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I think when you do go through a war like that, like what he described, maybe that just, it's really difficult to get past. I know I'm making an excuse for Jeremy's behavior, but I don't know. I don't know if I would be able to just be as accepting of this, you know, when it's, when so many scary things happen right in your backyard.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think that grabbing somebody and shaking them is a solution to pretty much anything.
No.
But Laura explains that it was for a prayer, bringing Jeremy and his grandson together, and you kind of blew it, you jerk.
So, but I like how Laura is bold enough to correct him.
Yeah, like, well, you know, with Pa there, she can pretty much say whatever she wants. She can light a pipe if she wants. Pa said it's okay. You know, Half Pint can do nothing wrong. We see kind of a weird scene. We're trying to break a horse, right? We're trying to, is this a thing? Do you happen to know about this at all? Horses?
I've heard that that's the case.
Yeah. So
if you get them in the water.
But I mean, in general with, is this something that every horse has to go through? You have to kind of,
I believe so.
Break them in. But Seth, you know, Seth is like the big kid out of them all, and it appears he's going to try getting on this wild horse. So here's
he had good instincts for it, I think.
And everybody's there watching it like it's a show, and it kind of is a show.
Aren't you going to change your school clothes, Seth?
No.
Bet you can't stay on him even 1 second.
You got money to back that?
Nope, but I bet you can.
It ain't no bet without money.
Got a point. So he gets on for about 3 seconds. He gets thrown off. It is kind of funny. He just keeps not really knowing what he's doing. He's doing it the way he's probably seen people do it. And Joseph has a bit of an opinion about this. Whoops, I went a little bit early here, sorry.
You should take him into the water.
What do you mean?
It's the Sioux way. A horse is easier to tame in the water. Good
luck. So, apparently, we also learned that if you tame the horse under Indian law, the horse is yours.
I wonder if that's just true of the Sioux or if that's true of most Native American people. I don't know.
You know, I kind of like the entire idea of it because it's kind of like whoever tames the horse, maybe there's some type of spiritual connection between you and that horse. I don't know. But he mentions to Seth directly what he should do.
You should take him into the water. You mind your own business.
You want some glue for your saddle? Yeah.
That was Willie. That was awesome.
I love Willie.
He's got this like goofy hat on. It's, how do you not love this kid?
Like, you have to.
And that's the thing is Willie just, he seems like the kid who cannot go through an entire day without just ribbing people. It's amazing. So they kind of get into this big fight. You know, Joseph and Seth get into a big fight. Joseph is clearly a much better fighter. Laura needs to tell Joseph that it's enough. Like, because at this point, he's really beating the crap out of Seth. What did you think about that one little scene where she goes, enough?
I don't think they would have listened to her.
No, but I kind of got this thing where Laura was kind of like Joseph was a wild animal, and I didn't really care for it. I felt like he's this wild Indian, and he's gonna kill him, you know. And I don't know. I just don't think it wasn't right.
I was watching an episode I used to hate, but it's growing on me a little bit. He Was Only 12. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where they hunt down the guy who shot James, and Charles starts choking him. And Isaiah says, he's making this horrible face while he's choking him. And Isaiah tells him, for the love of God, let him go, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like, because Charles was a wild animal. And so it's sort of the same way here.
Yeah, but when you're a Native American, everybody thinks you're an animal. And then she yells at you. I don't know. They just seem, I didn't like it. I just feel as though there was some type of, it's in his blood that he's such an animal, and he's capable of killing him. That's all. And maybe he was. Not really sure what that was all about. Now, he does.
I don't think he had any secret tricks.
Well, he was really whooping his butt, though. He does tame the horse in water, and he mm-hmm. comes back to Seth and has this to say.
Now this horse is mine.
And Laura is like, whoa, you just horse jacked that thing.
Joseph! No, you can't do that!
And she's right, you can't do that.
You gotta follow white man's law here.
Well, yeah, you kinda do. And this is the saddest little moment, I think. I think it's very sad when he comes up and explains where the horse came from and why he's so happy to have it.
Joseph, where did you get that horse?
I won him. Now my grandfather can be proud that I'm his grandson.
What do you mean you won him?
It was Seth Johnson's. He couldn't tame him, so I did. So the horse is mine by Indian law.
Not white man's law. It's stealing. You've got to give it back.
Get off.
Get off.
Who'd you steal it from?
It's Seth Johnson.
Get off.
But he didn't think it was stealing. By Indian law, he has the right.
What's the matter with you? Are you forgetting we got white man's laws here? And by that law, he's a horse thief.
Oh, he isn't.
I'm going to take him back.
So, yeah, he goes and takes it back and... That guy was more understanding than I expected him to be.
Or pretended to be understanding.
Well, understanding and kind of, I think, grateful that he was getting his horse back so easily. But he was definitely giving Jeremy some ribs about his grandson.
Yeah.
So this
but he's got a comment to his boy.
Yes. But here's what he said before Jeremy left.
Sure is good of you to take it this way, Omar. I'm sorry it can't be that it happened, but I guarantee you it won't happen again.
He's nothing but an Injun kid. Don't know no better. I reckon you'll teach him.
Oh, yeah.
If you ask me, they're born to it. Horse thieves. Every one of them. It's in the blood.
Well, you, Now, you tell Seth that I'll have Joseph apologize to him in the morning.
I will, as soon as I see him.
So, yeah, I mean, we see Seth in the background, kind of hiding and listening in. Did you expect this to come out the way it did when the father confronts him about it?
I remember thinking at the time that it was a little too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was easier than I thought. And then the other shoe drops.
Yeah, so here we go.
How come you let an Injun kid get the best of you? I asked you, how come, boy? You got an answer?
Fights like a ninja.
You shame me, boy.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. And of course, you know, your father's telling you that you shame him. So what are you going to do? You know, it's you're going to have a little bit of a
scheme. Just egging him on.
Yeah, really.
He has to do something now. If he lets it go, he's in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so Jeremy comes back and he's about to lay down the law, I guess. You know, it's my house type of attitude.
Where's the boy?
In bed. He's eating. No, you don't, Papa.
You leave me be, Amelia.
You're not going to touch him.
The boy needs a lesson, Amelia. I gotta give it to him.
He brought that horse home because he thought you'd be proud of him. But you've made him so miserable that now he wants to go back to his people.
Well, if he can't learn white man's ways, Amelia, then let him.
Then I go, too.
Well, you were starving out there, Amelia.
And he's starving. Here.
I can't help that.
My son and I will leave by the end of the week.
Amelia!
I'd be happy to get out of there. Although, you know, hopefully something happens in this episode to wake everyone up to the reality of
oh yeah, let's go tonight.
So the next day, Laura's is kind of chatting away with Joseph, and shows him this good fortune that she has.
Want to see my bear claw?
It is Osage. It brings a good fortune.
A chief gave it to me. You can have it.
Maybe you should throw it, because you're now surrounded by four big bullies.
Yeah.
It's real
and
good luck.
Don't give that away. That was given. Yeah. She shouldn't give that away. It was given to her by a chief.
Yeah, like, it's so weird. Yeah, that was the Halloween episode? Was it the Halloween? No. What episode was that? I'm forgetting. If it was the Halloween episode, then it didn't happen.
No, that was the pilot movie.
No. Oh, was it the pilot? Okay, movie. I don't.
Right.
I'm like, that Halloween dream wouldn't happen for another couple seasons.
Run!
Run! So, this is all really visual.
Run for your life!
But they basically, they surround him and they basically are about to kill him. They really seem like they're going to kill him, actually. Laura runs and gets Pa.
Up there!
You gotta come quick! You've got to!
What's the matter?
It's Joseph. They're gonna kill him. Seth and his friends.
Show me.
So Charles goes running, picks up a very beaten up Joseph, and they give him a good beating. This is where we get to see Doc Ingalls in, you know, we haven't seen him, every once in a while we get to see Doc Ingalls, you know, where he really knows what to do and when to do it. He comes into Jeremy's house and brings him into their really kind of nice house too. I mean, we're getting a shot, you know, a lit shot of Jeremy's room, and he's got a nice dresser and the door is really nice, and I don't know. I think it's really nice.
Give me some water. Any medicine you have in the house. Whiskey will do.
Wait, what happened to him? What
Seth Johnson and his friends taught him all white man's ways.
Don't seem to be any bones broke. I don't know about the inside. A whole bunch of them beaten up on him.
Here, let me have it. Let me in there.
Now, this was the first time we see Jeremy step up as somebody who cares. you know, and I think even he's surprised that he's as upset as he actually is with this bottle of whiskey and water.
It really seems to affect him.
Yeah, it really does. For good reason, of course.
Just let me in here.
It's all right, boy.
You're all right. Your grandpa's going to take care of you.
Now, this is what he's good at, I think. Taking care of people.
Yeah.
And
but he sounds really scary there.
Yeah, like he's like, I'm going to take care of it. It's, you know, whatever. And Joseph, you know, he's stubborn, like his grandfather.
You are not my grandpa. You're a white man.
Trying to help you, boy.
I am an Indian. I do not need the help of a white man.
You have to stay in bed.
He told me not to show my face in school or in town. I must go to school now, you know that.
You're not going to let him go.
Yes. Because he must go. Because he is his father's son, and he'll not allow the white man to drive him away. As you've said, it's in his blood.
So, you know, there's something to be said for that also, standing up to your bullies, and a lot of white man talk.
If he's got the will to do it.
Yeah. So the next day in school, we're talking about, we're in the school, and we get to see Miss Beadle. Like, holy moly, she really steps up. This is a bit
she's
of a...
She's bad in this. I love it.
Yeah, like, it's like, whoa!
She's had enough of this.
This whole scene basically finishes up the entire episode, so I'm going to play it through, but I'll stop it every once in a while.
Joseph, you have to tell me.
By the way, the makeup on Joseph's face is terrible. It's supposed to be a black eye, and it's literally like dark blue eyeshadow. It's... And it's just red paint. It's,
I didn't notice.
Right? It's like a Halloween
type
of thing.
I have to look at him.
And maybe a little clay on his cheek to make it look a little raised. But at 44:33, it's no doubt about it.
Joseph.
Seth and his friends did it.
True. Answer me.
Whoa.
Yeah. It'll happen again if he shows up for school tomorrow. We don't want no engine kids around here.
My grandson goes wherever he pleases.
Now, I got emotional here. I thought that the grandfather stepping up for his grandson, finally, is so... in front of all these kids, he knows everybody's going to be crap talking his family around the dinner table tonight, but it just doesn't matter. I really love the fact that he did this. And maybe he didn't fully redeem himself, but I definitely think it's a step in the right direction.
That's what I love about Little House, is
right?
People with bad qualities or bad actions, they get their comeuppance and they change.
Yeah, it's something that I think we do see in real life. And very often we learn people never change, right? What on Little House sometimes brings some of the worst people, and we actually see them change. And it kind of gives us hope, maybe, you know?
Yes, it does.
Sometimes they don't change, though. Sometimes they remain awful up until the very closing credits. But other people, like this scene, I think, really just goes to show you that, you know, what a good person this character really is.
Now, I'm not going to say anything to the boys that beat him up. I've been a lot worse to him. And probably for the same old reasons.
I even denied he was my own grandson. My daughter's boy. Well, he is. And I'm proud of him. I'm sorry. Sorry I lied. Now, there's been some talk here about him not showing his face again. Well, he's here. And he's staying here. Now, Miss Beadle, my grandson's name is Spotted Eagle. And I'd be much obliged if you'd make that change on your ledger.
See, I wouldn't even go that far. I was, we're still going to call you Joseph, though. Is that all right? or you could pick your own name, but not Spotted Eagle. No. Spotted Eagle's a pretty cool name. It sounds like kind of an 80s hair metal band. Spotted Eagle! Hello, Toronto! Yeah. All right.
I'd be happy to, Mr.
What?
It's a good speech he makes.
Yeah.
Miss Stokes.
Thank you, ma'am.
And as he's walking out, Pigeon Forge grabs his arm. No, I'm just kidding around. Spotted Eagle grabs his arm and looks him in the eye and says,
"See you at home, Grandpa."
Sweet. You know, we see like they've made up in a lot of ways, and really all this guy wanted was the love of his grandfather. And I don't think the grandfather ever wanted his love, but I think that up until this, you know, all happened,
He didn't realize he wanted it, and he was better for it.
And so it looks like Spotted Eagle is going to be a part of the show from this point on, huh?
It does. It says he's here and he's not going anywhere until the end of the episode because he's one of those drop-in characters.
Yeah, like this is a very strange one. Let me just see what the next episode would be. To Live with Fear. This is when Mary gets sick.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So it's easy to forget sick. About the...
She's burning with fever.
Yeah, that's a big two-parter.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, The Wisdom of Solomon. You know, this season, I mean, was season 3 something about getting some type of cultural message out or something? It's very interesting.
Really? Because you have 3 episodes in a row that deal with prejudice of 3 different ethnic groups.
Yeah, it's really kind of strange.
Because in To Live with Fear, you've got the Chinese miners and... They kind of explore that.
Yeah. It's a weird season. You know, they're really mixing. But we also have the music box. So we have that mix it up.
I was so scared of that episode when it aired the first time. Oh, my God.
Were you?
I was terrified of that episode.
Why?
Because I was so afraid that I'd be caught doing something. And I'd be, chained up and forced to eat that awful food that Harriet threw at her.
Yeah, that's where we get to see a Melissa Gilbert with like some crazy wild boy hair.
That was crazy hair. Yeah.
Do you remember the TV show Wild Boy?
I do not.
Oh my goodness, come on. It was like a Saturday morning TV show, like a live action thing, but it was like... that's another show I reviewed on a different podcast, but, Wild Boy, that wasn't the whole title. There's something else, but anyway, it's something to look up. It's about a wild boy.
Is it like the Marty Croft thing?
Yeah. It's kind of like in that same type of genre. Let me see if I can, oh my God, I type it in and I get Wild Boys. I don't know what that is exactly.
I think that's a vampire movie, isn't it?
Sorry, hold on, I'll find it. Because I know there's, I'm forgetting the exact title. Oh, Bigfoot and Wild Boy. I bet you never heard of that,
right? I don't remember that at all.
Let's see, there's a cool intro to it. Let me see if I can find it really fast. Here it is.
Out of the great Northwest comes the legendary Bigfoot, who 8 years ago saved a young child lost in the vast wilderness and raised that child until he grew up to be Wild Boy.
Yes, it's true. 1977. What did you say?
I love the concept.
Yeah. Let's listen to that music a little bit more. It's in 30 seconds. Yeah, it's really cool. But anyway, I could remember the beginning of it. Like, yeah, it's Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Bigfoot and Wild Boy. I have to look this up now.
Just look it up on YouTube. You'll find it. But Suzanne, thank you so much for getting together. This is a lot of fun. We got to dig into the world of It Is Enough, Willie Ames, Bigfoot and Wild Boy, all types of good stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, the word engine is such a cheap shot. You know, it's just one of those things that, I don't know. I don't know how sensitive everyone was to the word in 1977. So I wonder if it's possible, if the world really did have a sensitivity to it, whether it was a real risk in naming this episode Engine Boy.
It's kind of a bold move, I think.
And then following it up with Wisdom of Solomon, you know?
Yes.
Very interesting.
But now, this episode, I didn't like it originally, but it's better than I gave it credit for then. It has some really good moments, especially the end.
Well, I find that whenever I review something on this podcast, we find things to like about it. But, you know, not always. Not every single show is going to be a total winner. For instance, For the Love of Blanche, I recently reviewed with Kim, and she chose it.
Okay.
And she apologized, like, right before we started recording. She's like, this is the worst episode ever.
It is.
So, yeah, I think we had a good time with it.
Oh,
but,
of course.
But I would have to go back and listen, actually. Yeah. But I don't want to.
Things are bad. You have more fun with them.
Yeah, that was a weird episode, though.
That's scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
But, you know, we did pull out some very interesting things, like the fact that why does Victor French, who went through sobering up, why does he have a bottle of whiskey or whatever it was that the monkey was drinking?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, that was kind of like the Jinx in the Brady Bunch where they introduced Cousin Oliver.
Yeah.
Because it was right at the end. You know, that was like the second to last episode ever outside of the movies. And, you know, so it's like they're really kind of giving it up. But we also came to the conclusion, this might be my theory, that probably from day one, Michael Landon wanted to have a monkey episode, like a BJ and the Bear type of situation.
You know,
like, fine, we'll do it finally.
A lot of television shows have a monkey episode. It's like a staple, a trope. But very few of them are dramas.
Yeah. Did Little House on the Prairie ever have they did have a flashback episode. They had the one, not really though, the one, the Christmas one is, but it's not a real flashback.
Mm-hmm.
But did they ever have like kind of a flashback episode?
Well, they had the ones to Carolyn and Charles' childhood, but that's not really a flashback within the series.
No, I'm thinking of like in Three's Company when Lucille Ball hosted. And it's like a clip show.
Right. No. Well, there was the Little House years.
Yeah, I don't know.
a lot of people don't know that because it's not syndicated.
Hmm. What was The Little House Years?
The Little House Years was like a 3-hour special where it was a clip show.
Oh.
But, and then they did special opening credits for it. Even it was a big deal at the time, but you don't often see it in syndication, and it's not appeared on any of the DVD releases.
Hmm. But maybe I'll look into that. If there's any unique footage outside of the credits and the mm-hmm. opening credits, you know, maybe it's something to review. But
maybe so.
Yeah, but Suzanne, thank you so much. And
you bet. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I always love to talk with you.
Yeah, me too. I always have a good time. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.